Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of Football Theory. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Davis. Of course, pleased to be joined by the coach, former high school football coach at Burnett, Capel, Brownwood, Belton, Rotan. Also played college football at Abilene Christian. Coached there as well. Coached on the staff at the University of Texas for multiple seasons under multiple head coaches. He is our coach. Pleased to be joined by Coach Bob Shipley. Also, don't forget, you want to find out what he's doing these days? ShipleyRanches.com. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
Hey, good, man. Doing good. Had a little rain last week. It's all good. Earlier this week.
Yeah, man. We need it. Trust me. It's hopefully bring in some cool weather, but I don't think so, man. Triple digits is they're upon us, Coach. It's about to happen.
I know. I'm ready for that first fall cold front. This is second week of June.
it's gonna be far away, Coach. See, it's getting hotter earlier. It seems to be the case. But either way, that means at least we're right before football season gets.
That's right.
That summer workout weather. You remember that, Coach? I want to get into some, and we'll get into some, obviously, we'll give a shout out to our sponsor here in just a second. But I want to get into Johnny Nansen's resume a little bit. Johnny Nansen's resume is really interesting. He's an interesting coach. And also, I kind of want to get into your resume a little bit, because this actually may help us learn a little bit more about you, Coach, because I got a question about your resume, because something about Johnny Nansen's resume really sticks out as a coach. And also, I want to talk about his impact on the defense. He's co-DC. People bring him in like he's just a linebackers coach. He's going to be co-defensive coordinator. I got a feeling he's going to be a lot more impactful on this defense than a lot of people are expecting. So we'll get into that, too, coming up a little bit later on. But first, let's give a shout-out to our wonderful sponsor. Football Theory is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Give her a shout today, 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. All right, Coach, the thing that stood out to me about Johnny Nansen's resume, and I've actually looked at a lot of different coaches at the college and the NFL level, how hard at the high school level, obviously, to find this kind of information, but looked at coaches, and I call it the Belichickian principle, if you will, Belichickian theory. I was doing some research on what set Bill Belichick apart from other coaches, and one thing I came upon is that he has coached in all three phases of the game as a coach. Even at the NFL, though, he had coached in all three phases of the game, which is really rare. I mean, usually coaches, they have their expertise in just one phase of the game, and they don't really venture out into especially if they're a defensive coach, they don't coach special teams or offense. If they're an offensive coach, they usually don't coach defense or special teams. They kind of stick to be an expert in their field. But some coaches, they go to other different phases and kind of pick up other strategies and pick up more knowledge about the game overall, not just about the singular focus of their phase. And Johnny Nansen is one of those guys. Johnny Nansen, he's coached all over the place, Coach. He's coached running backs. He's coached cornerbacks. He's coached the safeties. He's coached linebackers, D-line, special teams, of course, inside linebackers. This guy's been all over the place. And I do think – I'm not saying, if you don't do that, then it makes you a lesser coach. No, not at all, because that's most coaches. I do think, though, it may give you a more kind of well-rounded knowledge of the game to spend a little time in another phase of it, because all the phases are complementary. So I talked about that all the time, the complementary football. It's hard to accomplish. But I think also there is merit. I think there is, an asset in having – knowledge in another phase game, especially in one like offense and defense where you're going head up against one another, and then learning what the offense is trying to achieve, how they're trying to achieve it, what they're trying to do with different concepts and cheat codes, and how they're trying to manipulate the defense. And once you learn some of that, they're all kind of the basic concepts. Once you learn them, then on defense, you can build and construct your defense and blueprint with some of those automatic offensive cheat codes built in and fail safes built into your defense.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I uh, I've never really been a special teams guru, but my first job in collegiate coaching was as an offensive line coach. And honestly, Abilene Christian was Division II back then. We didn't have many coaches. I mean, very few coaches. We had graduate assistants that actually had to be position coaches. We were so badly funded. And so I came in, I was going to be the running backs coach. And then we got talking about some offensive line stuff. And I've always liked that, but I never played it, never coached it. And the coach said, man, you pick it up pretty fast. How about you coach an offensive line? I said, wait, what? And I got with the University of Texas offensive line coach at the time in 1988 was Bryant Poole. Wow. And so anyway, I spent some time with him. I spent some time at the Dallas Cowboys training camp, a week out there with those guys. Tom Landry's last year as the head coach, and spent time with their offensive line coach, and just tried to immerse myself in it. And, man, I just thought I knew football. I thought I was a pretty decent football coach. I didn't know anything. It's just amazing. It's amazing how much it helps you as an offensive coordinator, as a running backs coach, quarterbacks coach, whatever it is. You know, I used to be one of those kind of guys that just say, well, here's what we're going to do. Well, how are we going to block it? Well, just block it. Just block them, you know. Well, it's not quite that easy, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at his resume and the fact that really it, I don't know, coaching quarterbacks helped him as much as a defensive line coach as coaching the running backs. You know, he was a running backs coach at USC, and they had some pretty good running backs on that team when he was there. Yeah. And I just think it's a great hire. You know, he spent 7 years or so, I think, with Sarcadney previously. So they know each other pretty well. And, you know, he's made an impact everywhere he's been. And I think that he is just a ball coach. If you just coach running backs and that's all you've ever coached and that's all you're going to coach, well, that's okay. I'm not saying you can't be, you can be very successful doing that, but you don't really understand the game until you've been a coach on multiple positions and both sides of the ball. And yeah. I think that's what Johnny brings to the table.
I totally agree with you, Coach. That's a great way of putting it. Because I do. I mean, and you let me know, Coach, how many positions have you coached throughout your career? You just told about the offensive line, especially, but what other positions have you coached?
Yeah, well, I've coached offensive line in college. I've coached quarterbacks in college. I've coached running backs in college. I coached assistant defensive line with Oscar Giles. And
there you go.
And yeah. Coached linebackers in high school. I've coached a lot. I never have coached a secondary. Yeah. I wasn't ever smart enough to coach a secondary.
Get out of here, Coach.
No, I never was smart enough to coach.
You ran out of time, Coach. You just ran out of time.
Too many moving parts.
O-line got more moving parts than the secondary now.
I don't know about that.
It may be a little closer together.
I'm just telling you, it's easier to coach on the offense because you know what the play is. You know what's happening. You don't have to react. You do have to react on blitzes and stunts and so forth. But when you go to the line of scrimmage, you know what's coming, you know, especially if you can read, you know, if you have identified the defense and what, you know, what it's going to be. Defense, you don't know if it's run, pass, trick play. I mean, there's just so many things that can happen defensively. To me, it takes a lot. It takes a really good football-minded guy to coach defense because you don't know what's coming. You don't have any idea what's coming. And I was the same way as a player. In college, I played fullback, running back, and played linebacker 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, I'd a lot rather be on offense because I like to know what, you know, I wasn't as good as reacting as I was going to line of scrimmage, knowing who I got to block, knowing where the hole's going to be probably. Mm-hmm. And offenses were a lot simpler back then. They didn't give you all these options. You know, you didn't read the zone, you know, just kind of go inside out or outside in, depending on what it was. You knew what the play was going to be, and you just did it. And that was a lot more comfortable for me. So I'm really excited about this hire. And you look at his resume, and I know you'll probably talk about it. There has been a drastic improvement everywhere he's been, especially going into Arizona.
Yep.
You know, the difference in that defense and the wins and losses compared to, you know, 2001 when they were, 1-11. You know, to going in and beating Oklahoma in the Alamo Bowl and maybe the third time Arizona's ever won 10 games in a season. That's a difference maker, and you do that defensively.
Yeah. And, you know, when they asked Johnny Nansen about, you know, his time moving around, coaching different positions and coaching the other side of the ball on offense and defense, he said, and this is, by the way, this is by design, because, you know, I just talked about Bill Belichick is probably the most famous example of a coach coached in all three phases at the highest level, is really something that set him apart. Jed Fish, who is now the Washington head coach, but was the Arizona head coach. Remember, he's a former staff member of Bill Belichick. He's a Belichickian disciple. Belichick is famous for asking some of his players even to go to other position meeting rooms, to go to the opposite side of the ball, to go to the offensive meeting room. If you're a defensive player, defensive meeting room. To be an offensive player, go to the defensive meeting room to learn about the other side of the ball, and therefore to help increase your football IQ overall, and then learn what the other side of the ball is hoping to achieve. So Jed Fish is from that Belichickian tree, and he reportedly asked Bill Belichick, hey, what should I look for in a coach? And Belichick told them, look for a coach that's coached on both sides of the ball. That is so and he found Johnny Nansen. And I think that part of Johnny Nansen's resume is why Jed Fish ultimately decided, no, he's my guy. And when he asked Johnny Nansen about being a coach on multiple sides of the ball in multiple phases, he said, I understand how offensive coaches are thinking. I understand how they prepare. That, to me, was something I really wanted to study, and it made me a better coach once I moved back over to defense. When he was I got another quote from him when he was asked about, you know, being a coach that coached in multiple sides of the ball. He said, when you learn the other side of the ball, it is a huge benefit when you're game planning and when you're talking to your players. So the idea of being able to hire somebody is an elite recruiter and understands talent acquisition and development, and somebody that understands both sides of the ball has and what they've been able to do, that's been a huge resource for us. And we were so fortunate to be able to land Coach Nansen. Sorry, that was Jed Fish's, that was his quote about Coach Nansen. So he prioritized finding a coach that coached on both sides of the ball. And then Coach Nansen has talked about how it was a huge benefit to him and game plan. You talked about how he's been really effective everywhere he's gone. I think one of the reasons he's been really effective is because his defenses are probably the most exotic defenses, among the most exotic in college football. And I think the reason he can make these packages so exotic, at least presentation-wise, to the opposing offense and be different matchup-wise week to week is because of his overall well-rounded knowledge of the game. I went back and looked at it, Coach, and you'll appreciate this. So in his time at Arizona, this is how many different defenses in the 2 years that he was their defensive coordinator. We saw he ran a 4-3 at one point, 4-2-5, a 3-3-5, a 3-4, double eagle flex, had a dollar package, which was 8 DBs, had a dime package, 6 DBs, had a quarters package with 7 DBs, had a joker package where he would have a 5 down lineman in his joker package. He broke that out in 2022 with 5 down linemen. He runs the penny package as well. And every game you can see pulls out something different. Use a lot of 7 DB package when he played Washington and USC, when they played against Oregon State, they played a lot of 3-4 and 4-2-5, even used the 3 high safeties when he played against Oregon State. Washington State, Arizona used the old double eagle flex against Washington State. You're talking about from the Desert Swarm days. When they played against San Diego State in 2022, they had the 5 down lineman package, the joker package. He's got exotic looks all over the place. And my belief is that he's going to bring that to Texas, and that's going to be the Johnny Nansen influence. PK's defense is great, but it's a pretty static defense. He doesn't have a lot of variety in his defense, and maybe feel like he doesn't need a lot of variety in his defense. But I do think PK will be open to the idea of bringing in some more exotic personnel groupings, personnel packages, sub packages to help his defense, especially the pass defense, because that's what Johnny Nansen did really well. He went up against Michael Penix, Caleb Williams, Cam Ward. He went up against some of the best quarterbacks in all of college football and held all of those guys to under their season averages. Some of them had some of their worst performances versus that Johnny Nansen defense.
Yeah, and as the SEC is getting more and more West Coast-type offenses, throwing offenses, that just plays right into his hand. The only, if somebody asked me what's the one concern you have about Johnny coaching defensive line in the SEC, well, probably he probably hasn't seen. I mean, you know, he's been in Utah and California and Arizona and all these places. But how many of those teams out there line up and just try to, you know, and hang their hat on the running game? You know, how many successful teams? Not that many. And thankfully in the SEC, there's getting to be fewer and fewer of those type teams. But the one concern I would have, you know, is, you know, stopping a power running game in the SEC. Not a big a deal as it used to be, as I said, but it's still something I'm sure he's up for. I'm sure he can handle it. But that's one thing that he's probably going to see a little more of than he's seen earlier in his career is teams that have the huge offensive linemen. They have the big, fast backs that can run over you or run around you. And, you know, those are the things that I'm sure he'll adapt very well to. But he's an impressive guy. You know, you're talking about coaching both sides of the ball and all that. I never coached a secondary, but I had a guy that was a great secondary coach. Well, I think we talked about this one time on one of our first football theory shows, and that is he taught me that when I was coaching receivers that as a defensive back, you're looking at that, you're reading your keys and all that stuff, but one of the things you want to try to do is look at that receiver's eyes. I don't know if you ever did that as a defensive back, but when he's running a pass route, he ain't looking at you. He's looking off into la-la land because he kind of thinks if he's not looking at you, then maybe you don't see him or something, you know. If he's blocking you, he's going to be looking right in your eyes the whole time from the time the ball snapped to the time he makes contact. He's focused right on your eyes. The great receivers won't do that. They'll try to have their eyes the same way every time. But the inexperienced receivers that aren't real sure of themselves – They're going to be eye locked with you the whole time from the time the ball snapped till they're engaged in the block. And so that's one thing I always try to teach my receivers to do is be consistent with your eyes, whether it's a run or a pass. Yeah. And those are little things like that are things that Johnny can bring to the table. Not necessarily that specific thing, but there's, as you know, there's tons of stuff like that. Little keys, you know, how the weight on the hand, you know. The foot placement and all those things of offensive linemen. There's all types of keys like that that coaching both sides of the ball will really accelerate you as a coach and what you're teaching your guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we got here, a couple other things I think you're going to see from the Johnny Manziel influence because it's time at Arizona. They probably ran more cover three than anybody in the Power Five. You're talking about upwards of over 55% of the time. They were single high coverages, close to 70% of the time. That means one single high safety. PK is pretty split, but without Tavondre Sweat, without Byron Murphy, you'll probably be playing, try to play with more even balanced boxes. They played with a lot of light boxes last year. You can do that when you got Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy because they demand a double team. You can even out the numbers without those guys. You might have to bring another defender into the box. That means you're going to play with single high looks. That's cover one. That's cover three. So look for Texas paying a little more cover one and cover three than they did in previous years because of the Johnny Manziel influence as well. More run blitzes. Pretty much, I think more passing stunts up front, stunts, twists and stunts and games up front. Also something we saw more of from Johnny Manziel in Arizona. So I think Johnny Manziel is going to have a huge influence. And PK's open to it, just like he was when Gary Patterson came on the staff and they started running more of the match quarters. PK is a very progressive defensive coordinator, always looking to get better. We're always looking to get better, too, thanks to Coach and his wisdom. And also thanks to Laura Baker for her continued support of Football Theory. Football Theory brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So please give her a shout today, 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. Thanks again, Coach, for all of the wisdom. We appreciate it all the time. Thank you to everybody out there who joined us and who obviously are watching and listening and supporting Football Theory. We appreciate them. Thanks to Matthew behind the scenes. Thank you to Laura Baker once again as well. And thank you to everybody out there for supporting On Texas Football. Until next time, hook 'em horns.